Well, hello everyone. I'm Pastor Steve at the Wilton Baptist Church. I hope you're doing well today. I'm coming to you from the back porch, and behind the back porch is the backyard, and you can kind of see the playground here that we have, the large boat, beautiful fenced-in area, just mowed just a moment ago by our grounds crew. There's always something happening here at the Wilton Baptist Church. We're really excited for what God is doing. In fact, not this week, but next Wednesday, we're having a music concert with the Pensacola Christian College Proclaim team. And so you're welcome to that. That'll be at 6:30. At 4 o'clock, we have a youth event for teenagers. So teens, come on out. We'll have pizza for you and a rock climbing wall. Then the music concert, there'll be a Bible message there. And then we have a young adult. So young adults are welcome for afterwards, rock climbing after the music concert. So if you get there around 6:30 for the music, and then you can rock climb afterwards. And then we'll go down to Dairy Haas. Young adults, go down to Dairy Haas and get some good ice cream there. So bring some money for all that if you would. $10 to rock climb. And then pizza, teenagers, that's free. Young adults, please bring some money to get something good and tasty there at Dairy Haas. We'll have a good fellowship on that day. So that is next Wednesday. Please tell people you know about it. That would be terrific. All right, we are in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. And let's be sure to take some time to pray. Sometime in July, the first or second week of July, we'll be starting our scatter groups. We had a great response. We have 5 or 6 locations. In addition, we can have a church location. We just need a leader for that. I was thinking maybe even having some of that done in the mornings or at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something for a scatter group to meet there. For those who could. So we'll be talking about that more, but a great response so far about having the teaching and then the talking about the teaching like Deuteronomy tells us. And so really looking forward to that sometime in July. This Sunday you can sign up for that, and that'd be great if you did. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for this time to gather here online with our scatter groups and with our family groups that may be meeting right now. We pray that you would bless our study tonight, and also we pray for those that are hurting. We know several in hospitals and those who are still recovering from different ailments, and we pray you give great grace and strength to them. We pray for our church and a new ministry model of having these scatter groups. We always look forward to our gathering on Sunday morning, and we also are looking forward to the scattered groups, small groups, during the midweek. And so we pray you bless this effort. Also help us as we are striving and praying and working towards reaching the next generation. We pray for this rock climbing wall night and the music concerts. All that would be a blessing as we minister to one another and to you. And so thank you for this time now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this really has been a model for our scatter groups, what we're doing right now. So we're watching a short message and then discussing it. I'm looking forward to our discussion in our group in just a few moments. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is our passage. And the Bible says here to remember. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And when it's referencing the Creator, of course, that would be God. Now, I've been told many times, I've heard it many times, growing old is hard, or growing old is no fun, or don't grow old, just don't get stay young. You know, you hear people say things like this. Well, we can't stay young, we can stay youthful in our mind. And really, when someone says that, it mostly has to do with either cognitive or physical ability. Stay young. And it's hard to age gracefully because, you know, we can no longer do the things that we once did. I've already turned a corner in some ways. I already feel that in my body physically in some ways. But you know what? It's all right. It's okay. Growing old, getting older, elderly, these are not terms to be afraid of. They're not terms to be ashamed of. And really, we should embrace the elder role that God gives to us the older that we get. Age does not determine outlook. The person's emotional, spiritual, and psychological well-being really can affect that. Now, verses 1 through 6 is one long, complete sentence. Now, notice it if you would. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the strong men shall bow themselves, the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. Now, I love the imagery here. There's such vivid pictures that King Solomon uses, and most commentators believe that Solomon is old at this point. He is the aged king. He is the old husband. He's the elderly father. And he's speaking from experience, and he looks at the audience and he says, remember your Creator when you're young. Now, throughout Ecclesiastes, we've highlighted that there's been times where he remembered God and times when he had a humanistic and a worldly approach to life. And so he's reflecting now in this last chapter. Here's what life is like without God, apart from God. But now I need you to know something. Remember God when you're young. Called this message, this lesson, Remembering God in the Dash of Life. And we need to ask the Lord to help us age gracefully. And it's something that we should desire, to age gracefully. Some people fight it. Some people become angry about it. In these images that Solomon uses, there are at least 10 pictures of a decline in health and ability. And so notice these pictures, if you would, as we continue our message. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. So the strong man has strong hands to protect his house. And this is indicating the hands. And then the strong men bow themselves. That's his legs, his thighs, his calves, his leg muscles are declining. And the strong men are bowing themselves down. And you've known people that they walk and they're leaned over all the time. It's because, you know, how their body is kind of diminishing. And that's what Solomon is speaking of here. And then the grinders cease because they are few. Now, whenever I see the term grinders in the Bible, I kind of smile a little bit, because this has to do with your teeth and dentistry. And in fact, I have a dentist appointment very soon, and they're replacing a tooth. And then in a few weeks, I need another tooth to be replaced, and they need to put some bone in there because the bone has diminished so much that there's nothing to put the tooth into. So, you know, I know what that means, and many of you know what that means. And I always tell the dentist, well, maybe I'll live another 20 years. I'd like to be able to eat in those years. That's what I tell them. We laugh about that, and really, that's the motivation. I'd like to be able to chew some food a little bit, because the grinders are less and less, it seems, each year. And many of you have experienced this as well. Now, notice how he talks then about the eyes. And those that look out the windows be dark. And I have some glasses on. You have glasses, sometimes contacts. You have some corrective vision surgery or something. But as time goes on, perhaps you will lose your vision. You have less and less of it. That's what he's talking about. Cataracts come on, or some other type of decline in vision. And then the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird. Now, he's talking about it's hard for this guy to sleep. How many of you have told me, I've heard many folks say, you know, the older I get, the harder it is to sleep. I go to bed late, I wake up early or wake up often, etc. There's different reasons for that. So here's something to do with growing older. Sleep, rise up, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, you know. So just anything can wake him up. And then also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, I'm preaching to you this message from a staircase. And as time goes on, you may not like stairs as much. That's what he's talking about. I don't want to go up any steps. And I've heard that. You've heard that and experienced that perhaps as well. And the fear shall be in the way. So he's looking out. You know, I can't navigate that. I can't walk up that anymore. My body is no longer able to do that. and the almond tree shall flourish. Now, this is interesting. This has to do with the gray hair. And as you age, perhaps your hair will change color. That's the imagery here of the almond tree. So these white buds, so the whitening, the graying of the hair. And then the grasshopper shall be a burden. Now, you think of a grasshopper, they almost weigh nothing. I mean, what, a gram or two? Just, they don't weigh that much. But wait a minute. He's talking about physical strength is being diminished. So even something as lightweight as a grasshopper would be hard for me to lift up again. Not that you're eating grasshoppers or anything, like John the Baptist, locusts, etc. But, you know, I've known people eat grasshoppers, by the way. That's kind of interesting. But it's hard for him to lift up something as lightweight as a grasshopper. And then it'll be a burden, and desire shall fail. So this has to do with passion and romance. And the reason is, he's getting closer to his death. The verse continues, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. So he's talking about death then, the long home. And the Bible imagery of death is sleep. We're asleep until the rapture happens, and we're looking forward to when we're resurrected. And so that's something for us to consider today as well. Let's keep reading then. Or ever the cord be loosed, or the bowl, golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. So Solomon is talking about being young. Then there's really a short dash here, then being old, young and old, and then death. Solomon is musing from experience, it seems, in this passage. Now, the Bible speaks much about our lives. Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So he's saying 70 years, or if you're really physically strong, maybe 80 years you have on this life. And of course, sometimes that's cut short according to God's plan, and our response also to the Lord's plan as well has something to do with that. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment, the Bible tells us. So Deuteronomy tells us about Moses. Moses was rather unusual in his lifespan and how he did not decline until the day of his death. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher, that be his tomb, unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He had the strength that he had when he was young. He did not lose his vision. And we know from him writing down, recording scripture, he still had all of his cognitive abilities that God had given to him. Still great leadership skills and force. So whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So we don't know when we will die, but we do know life is short. It's like a dash. And I'll read you the dash poem at the end of our message today. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So before we die, we have a short time on earth. And Solomon describes some of this aging that takes place and how it can be discouraging and disappointing, and it can get you down when you can no longer do the things and be how you once were or was, but you can still age gracefully. And he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The idea is then you can keep on remembering when the days are bad and when times are tough. In Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Just like Solomon said, Adam knew this, God told him, we know this, the spirit or the dust shall return to the earth as it was. And so we will die one day, but for now, let's make the most of the time that God has given, living by God's grace. So remember God when you're young. Both a youth, a child, a young person, that's what the word here means. Remember the Lord in the days of thy youth. When you're strong, this is indicated by the passage, when you're strong, so this would be like your prime years of life, the pinnacle of life, and it's rather glossed over in the passage before us. He jumps from young to old. So when you're young, when you're strong in the zenith of life, and when you're old, keep on remembering God. Because there'll be some times when it's difficult to remember the Lord, or to give thanks, or to be graceful and peaceful because of the way your condition may be. Now, David must have taught this to Solomon, because here's what David said: I have been young and now am old. Isn't that amazing? He glossed over the dash in between as well. The zenith of life, if you would. He just categorized life young and old. Paul even talked about, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but now that I'm older, I'm going to speak as an adult, or as a mature and aged man. Now, the key verb, I guess you would say, a key term, is the first word in this chapter, remember. What is remember? It means the action of remembering, and when it's linked to human beings, the underlying sense of this word, the Hebrew word is zakar, is that of bringing to mind, to focus on, or to recall. To bring to mind, to focus on, or to recall. In other words, I'm going to be thinking about God. I'm going to bring God up in my mind, in my life, in my conversation with what's happening. One definition is this: memory is the act of recalling a person or an event. However, in both the Old and New Testaments, the concept of memory is not limited to cognitive recall. Rather, remembering is something implies acting in accordance with what is remembered. Remembering something implies acting in accordance with what is remembered. So I'm going to remember, then act upon what I'm remembering. I'm going to remember God, and then let God impact my life and my living. So we need to remember early. That's our first point. How can I remember God? Remember God early. Friends, let's teach our kids. Let's teach the next generation. Talk with your teenagers. Talk through the scriptures. Talk through everyday life scenarios. And teach and talk, like Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 tells us, to teach and to talk. And then continue with your young adults. Continue. And young adults watching right now, in your small group, in your scattered group, keep reading the Bible. Even if it's a little bit every day, keep reading the Bible. Keep praying. When you pray, you are inviting God into your life. You are inviting God into what's happening. You are inviting God into that moment. So before you take a test, before you drive somewhere, before you get up and go for the day to work or to your class or whatever you're doing, pray. Talk to the Lord. Start the day. End the day. Keep that conversation going with the Lord. Young adults, be in church. Go to your church services. Participate in the worship. Be in the scattered group. When we have other Bible studies and other events, be a part of those. That's good for teenagers and for the young adults. And that's good for all of us, isn't it? That we would participate in the Christian life, that we'd continue to walk with the Lord. We need to remember early. Keep recalling God in daily life. Not just when we dress up for church. No, keep recalling God in everyday life. A lot of people are just disillusioned that God's only involved in their life one day a week. And we're trying to overcome that misperception. We need to include God in the everyday, because God's included in your life whether you admit it or not. And so when you're young, start to have these disciplines refined in your life so that you can more easily recall and recognize God in daily settings. So remember early, remember often. That's in verses 3 through 5, and we need to ask God to help us age gracefully, because as you age, as you see these different things that happen in our bodies and in our lives, you've heard some people say, well, if it's not the mind, it's the body. If it's not the body, it's the mind. And for some people, it's both that goes first, or both that go all together. And it may be in your life. Now, I've known some elderly folks that are strong until their last day. That's kind of uncommon. But I've seen that. I know some people right now that are up in years, but they're very strong. I know others who can no longer move. They forget everybody, and they have a lot of things to both of God, the body and the mind. We don't know. It's like, what does a day bring forth? In James, we don't know what a day will bring forth. But as trials come, as your body or mind diminishes, Solomon says, remember God. Remember God by starting early and then by continuing with God in the dash of life. The body changes because of time, but also your body and mind will change because of the miles you put on your body. I know sometimes people say, well, you're not that old, but you know, the miles that you put on your body, the damage you do because of the work or the effort or accidents or whatever, that takes a toll on each person. Everyone's different when it comes to what Solomon is speaking of in this passage. When you can no longer do what you'd like to do, it's very disappointing. Now, in our spiritual gifts test booklet, we just gave that out Sunday. Please fill that in and figure out what your spiritual gift is. In the back portion, there are things that you can participate in, and we included in one of the ministries of encouragement or helps is the ministry of prayer. Because at some point, you may get to the place where you cannot lift up a grasshopper, or you can't see to do something, or you've lost all your teeth, or whatever has happened, like probably what happened to me. And you have all these things that are going on, and it'd be difficult, but at least you can pray. I'm delivering a DVD with the Bible being read to somebody so that maybe they can play it because it's harder for them to see. And just trying to be a blessing like that, because that's part of life. We can age gracefully. We can accept it. We can accept, hey, this is where God has me. If you have diminished skills, if you have poor health, it did not take God by surprise. But listen, it makes it hard sometimes for us to remember God. Some people get bitter because they're not remembering God properly. They get angry at God. Why am I in this condition? I want to get off of this bed. I want to be able to walk or to run, or I want to be able to speak or to say or to stand up. And no, don't get angry at God. It didn't take God by surprise. There's a reason. There's a purpose. Ultimately, we live by God's grace. The condition we're in is by God's grace. So by God's grace, we need to accept where we are at in life stage, and the condition of our lives as well. Well, you might say, well, somebody, you know, it's not much of a life. Well, it is a life. They can still pray. They can still fellowship with God. And every life is valuable and precious to the Lord. And so accept it by God's grace. Ultimately, I think it comes down to fear. We get afraid. You know, if I'm no longer useful, we think we're no longer useful, but there's still usefulness. Or I no longer have a purpose. No, there's still some purpose. It's just hard to find a purpose sometimes. I think of Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Friends, keep trusting God no matter what condition you may find yourself in as you age. So remember early, remember often, and remember up until the very end. In verses 5 through 8, he talks about how we're going to return back to dust. And of course, that's what Adam told us, or what God told Adam, that we're made out of dust. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Solomon says, essentially, a life lived apart from God is empty. And remember God, because we need Him each day in our lives. Friends, death will be here soon enough. Don't wait until a deathbed to remember God. Remember God at the start, as you continue life, and through to the end, no matter what condition. Now, isn't that an interesting verse there, verse 7, about the dust, the body returning to dust, and then the soul going to God who gave him life. So, is there separation of soul and the body at death? Absolutely, there is. We know from New Testament teaching that a person, as a Christian, their soul and spirit is with God in heaven. And when Christ comes back, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will resurrect us. And those resurrected will be reunited, their body, with their soul and spirit, which comes down in the clouds with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's absolutely amazing. Read in 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians for more information on that. But look at this image here, this tombstone. Your name, born and died, and there's the dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But what he said mattered most was all the dash in between those years. For that dash represents all the time they spent alive on earth, and now only those who love them know what that line, little line, is worth. For it matters not how much we won, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that still can be arranged. To be less quick to anger, to show appreciation more, and to love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with all your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they would say about how you live your dash? Ultimately, what would God say about your dash? Here's a good thing for the dash of our life. He or she remembered God. Please take some time to answer these questions. Thanks for watching here today. God bless.